welcome to the LMA podcast, featuring thought-provoking conversations with legal marketing and business experts. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
Hello, and welcome to the Strategies Live podcast. My name is Erin West, and I am your host for today's discussion, which takes a closer look at leveraging storytelling in law firm public relations. I've been a PR professional for more than 17 years, including 9 years working at law firms. For the last 2.5 years, I've been the media relations manager at Deckert LLP. Today's subject of storytelling in law firm public relations carries forward the theme of the July-August 2017 issue of Strategies Magazine on the topic of media and public relations. For more information about strategies, please go to www.legalmarketing.org/strategies. I'm joined today by two of my colleagues. John J. Buchanan has more than 25 years of strategic branding, marketing, communications, and business development experience, including 16 years working with law firms. And he's currently the Global Director of Public Relations at Reed Smith LLP. And also joining us is a communications professional with enviable contacts and reach, Cheryl Boehm, who's principal of Boehm Public Relations, and she's widely recognized for her innovative work with law firms, professional services firms, financial and real estate companies, as well as industry trade groups. She also currently serves as the co-chair of LMA's Public Relations Special Interest Group, or SIG. Today, again, we're taking a closer look at leveraging storytelling in law firm public relations. Storytelling is part of every culture from the earliest of days. We all are familiar with the legends and folktales of each of our cultures. Storytelling is also at the core of how we relate to others in our world, and it's only natural for PR professionals to embrace this as we seek to influence reputations and perceptions for our firms, for our clients. To meaningfully relate to journalists and our target audiences, we need to tell compelling stories. Strategic, impactful coverage doesn't usually result from simply announcing news or offering quotes. The context of a larger story helps us connect and show why our clients' news matters. One of the things that when we were preparing for this discussion, we realized is that the most effective stories tend to emphasize specific narrative components, including exposition, conflict, characters, climax, and resolution. I want to give you a quick snapshot of each before we dive into a number of examples. When we talk about exposition, we're talking about sharing background information that demonstrates thought leadership. We're describing the landscapes in which our firms and clients operate. For conflict, conflict drives a story. By identifying a compelling conflict and positioning our lawyer, our firm, our client as the protagonist who is actively working to resolve the problem. And speaking of protagonists, that's one of our characters. When we talk about characters, who is the hero? Who is the villain of this story? In most cases, we're talking about a metaphorical villain. We're talking about resistance to change or a crowded marketplace. And then our conflict and our characters as they drive through conflict, they ultimately reach a climax or a turning point. For us, that could be achieving a certain momentum or a metric, achieving a successful exit, for example, with regards to a number of transactions. Stories build to this moment. And then finally, there's some sort of resolution. We're reinforcing the themes of our story. What do you want your audience to walk away with after you make an important announcement? So again, we want to share with you a number of examples that talk about how we can leverage these narrative components in different ways. And we're going to start with exposition. And so Cheryl, I know that this was something that when we spoke before, we were really we really wanted to emphasize.
Absolutely. I mean, we can't rely on bios of attorneys to get all the details to tell a good story. We often are challenged with getting all the details that we want to position an attorney or a professional as a thought leader based on bios. So I think it's the onus is upon us as PR professionals to spend time with our clients or attorneys to get all the details to craft a really compelling story or a pitch to convince a reporter why they want to speak with our expert. I think the majority of the things that we do during the day is position our clients as experts in the media more than just pitching real stories about client deals or litigation results. So I think the key is to get all the details, and we know that reporters want those details. They want data. They want to know how many deals our clients have worked in this specific sector. They want to know how many litigation matters an attorney or a practice group has handled in the retail industry. So we need to get those details in order to craft a story to really describe, like you said, the landscape in which our firms work so that we can actually tell the story as to why a reporter would want to talk with an attorney, a practice group leader, and why our firms or our practice groups are the leaders of their industry. And, you know, it's also a great opportunity is even if we don't think that our firms are going to win a nomination, going through the motions of completing nominations, because that's usually the time when you're going to get those details.
Right. And I think that also part of this whole kind of thinking about it and kind of providing and working with the reporter and giving them background, when I'm working with my lawyers, I very often tell them, you know, one of the most important things we can do is spend some time with the reporter, even if we're not going to end up being in the story or being featured in the story. And this is where I say, you know, lawyers love to have immediate gratification. They want to see their name or they want to see the firm in the story. And sometimes that doesn't happen. And sometimes you need to spend some time with the reporter, kind of explaining what the context of things or explaining a complex piece of litigation or complex law or complex deal. And that can really be beneficial in the long term, kind of helping the reporter understand all the nuance and detail. Because, you know, in this day and age, reporters don't cover a single beat anymore. They cover many beats. And with the 24-hour news cycle, there's a constant need for news. And they're writing stories quickly and getting them on and then moving on to the next ones. So they very often don't have time to delve in and get down in deep and understand all the details. So that's one thing I think that we can help our lawyers understand and help them explain to the reporter or the journalist what's going on, how this works, how this fits into the bigger context, and kind of set that groundwork for either being included in a particular story or being then someone that the reporter will come back to, knowing that the lawyer knows this area or knows this specifically, and then use them for future stories as a resource.
John, you know what I noticed too is that when you do spend time with a reporter, especially if you're face-to-face with them, your attorneys, or at least what I know is my clients will open up more and share and give examples right. when they can and educate them and talk more or give examples or give more data or do more storytelling with them that will lead often to a really great story that was unexpected. And I think that's a really important point for any PR professional, is spending time with reporters usually results in a great story because right. attorneys, for some reason, will talk with reporters differently than they'll talk to their own PR professionals.
Right. That's a really good point, Cheryl. And I think, too, this is where you're making sure that when you're working with your lawyers and reporters that everybody understands the ground rules, understands, you know, talking on background or on deep background so that people understand that they have the opportunity then to open up a little bit and not be so worried about everything they say is going to appear in print. I think that making sure people understand some of those rules, I think that really is helpful. And I think you're right. That does allow the lawyers to open up and be a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah, they let their guard down after a little bit of time. You know, they start to feel like, oh, okay, I understand that I'm building a relationship with this person and I need to provide a certain level of detail that I may not initially go into a conversation thinking I want to give.
Right. And I think, too, that one thing about working with, as long as I work with lawyers, sometimes, and I mentioned this when we spoke earlier, that you know, there is some hesitation, some anxiety, I think, on the part of lawyers to talk to reporters. There's a kind of still a little bit of worried that they're going to either say the wrong thing or be misquoted and that kind of thing. I think just doing some of this kind of background work and talking with and getting them comfortable with reporters gives them a little bit less, it takes away that anxiety and then they're a little bit more comfortable going forward.
Yeah, I think that this leads us into talking about the next topic, which is the narrative element of conflict. it's something that looms large when we think about how to tell our firm's litigation stories, but it works its way into a lot of different stories as well. And John, I know that you have a really good example. I think that is a good example of the power of exposition and really taking the time to give a lot of information, but also weaving in, you know, some key elements of content.
Right. Yeah, I was very fortunate. I've been fortunate over the past year or so to work with one of our lead lawyers in Washington, D.C., who has been representing a gentleman by the name of Darnell Early, who was the emergency manager in Flint, Michigan, and so has been very connected with and involved in all of the stories and now litigation surrounding the water crisis in Flint, where the water was contaminated and people got sick, and subsequently some people died. And this early on in the representation, the partner came to me and said, could you please, you know, talk with Darnell and kind of help him understand what's going on in the context, and can you give us a hand here, because we're really not sure how to manage some of this media attention that he's getting. And so I was able to talk with Darnell, kind of work with him, and then I became kind of basically his PR person and kind of helped him kind of be the intermediary between him and the various journalists that want to talk to him. I helped him kind of think about the things that he wanted to say. Kind of I prepped him, worked with him. And it was a situation in which, you know, normally it's very difficult often to get coverage of litigation matters because either the clients don't want you to talk about it or there's some other reason that people get very anxious about talking about litigation. But in this particular case, you know, our client wanted to talk about it because he wanted to defend himself and he wanted to be able to speak to the press because he was kind of getting pounded. And I also kind of looked at him a little bit as collateral damage because he really wasn't involved in some of the initial decisions in connection with what happened in Flint, but he ended up being connected with it. And so consequently he was, you know, part of the group that has now been focused on. So, but anyway, it was an opportunity to kind of really help him. It also helped the journalists understand what had happened, the series of events, the sequence of events, because some of it was very confused and the timing was not quite right that some of the reporters had. And so it was a great opportunity for me to kind of work kind of both sides of it, work with the journalists to help them understand, work with Darnell to kind of help prep him, and then we were able to tell his story appropriately. I worked on an op-ed with him as well and some other things that allowed us to really tell his side of the story in an appropriate way. And I think that he was certainly appreciated. Another partner that I worked with was very pleased with it, and it kind of showed an example of kind of how we can do a little bit of value add with clients. Now, granted, all of us are busy and we have a lot to do, and it's rare we get these opportunities to work directly with clients, but when you can, and if you can do it in this kind of situation, it's interesting. It helps kind of build your own set of tools that you can work with, but also, you know, it was a kind of a feel-good thing because I felt at the end of it that we had really done something above and beyond for the client, and I think he was very pleased about it.
For sure. And I mean, I think it also, because the individual was such a focus of the work that you were doing there, it also is a natural progression into talking about characters here. Darnell perhaps considered a villain in some ways, but,
yes,
you know, you working through and putting the time in to reposition him as somebody who, you know, has a place in this story, but that is not what his place was.
Right. Well, I think it was a process of trying to help people, again, because it was a very complicated situation,
yeah,
and the timing was very interesting and different. It was, we had to really kind of make sure people understood when things happened, how they happened, and who was involved. So, right, exactly.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think that we're all familiar with how law firms are full of characters. But taking and really pulling out those specific characters and putting them into stories that are appropriate and interesting for the media is something that sometimes can be a bit challenging. But I know, Cheryl, you had a really good example along these lines.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing when you can actually, when somebody hands you the perfect story on a silver platter and says, go pitch it, and the ultimate story appears. And that's what happened with a client of ours. The chief marketing officer handed us a fabulous story because she wanted us to present it to the media to promote the fact that the firm cared about animals and dogs, especially because the firm had an interest in communicating to a specific retailer that a large retailer that was in the pet industry that the firm cared about pets. And two of its partners, who were actually married, started a dog rescue a few years ago. And since they started it, they had rescued over close to, I would say, dogs, and they were super passionate about animals. And so I was able to pitch the story about why this couple and the lawyers at a firm who their practice has nothing to do with animals cared about pets so much so that they actually have 9 dogs living at their home. And they had a fabulous story to tell, and I actually pitched it to a reporter, and we got a really great story, and the firm was thrilled about it, and the attorneys were really surprised. They didn't think, you know, they thought what they were doing was interesting, but wasn't, you know, didn't know media, didn't understand the basis for their story and why, you know, the media might be interested in it. But it had all the elements of a fabulous story: lawyers caring about dogs, going all over the world to rescue dogs, 9 dogs living at their house, and it was an important business development opportunity for the firm. So the firm obviously was very happy. They got the story, they put the story on the website, they were able to share it with the client. But it doesn't that type of story doesn't happen every day at a firm, but when it does, it makes our jobs a lot of fun.
Absolutely. I think from my own perspective, you know, recently we had a great success in a pro bono story where a Decker lawyer who is a former cop, he is now involved in this pro bono issue where he is working with the Pennsylvania Innocence Project and was working with them for a number I think over almost 2 years to help free a young man who had been in jail for a number of years and was wrongly convicted of a crime. And because he's a former cop and he took a look at this specific case and thought to himself, something's wrong here, and he leveraged his detective skills to really help come up with that particular result. And it's been such a phenomenal story, and he is part of the story. While, of course, the main focus of the story has been on the young man who was in prison for so long, you just can't help but include some significant reference to this Deckert lawyer, his you know, story. He was a former cop. While he was a police officer, or while he was a detective, he was going to law school, and now he works at this large firm. But the firm is really committed to pro bono and has enabled him to, in addition to his client work, be able to focus on this specific project. It's been really great. We got very high-level coverage, and it is a great example for our firm, which has put a lot of effort into telling our pro bono stories, because you know we see that as a key differentiator for how committed we are to pro bono. So an interesting character driven story for us there. And I know, John, you have another pro bono example.
Right, and I do think that the whole, you know, looking at your pro bono work and what you're doing, because of the nature of pro bono, just in and of itself, there's a lot of great characters, there's some incredible stories, there's some real positive things that can be shared. So I think that looking at your pro bono and ensuring that you're doing what you can with your pro bono work is really important from a storytelling's point of view. And also, you know, your pro bono clients are going to be most of the time going to be more than happy and be thrilled to be able to share and participate and talk to journalists or whatever, because they're very grateful for the work that the attorneys have done for them. And one of the case that Aaron mentioned at Reed Smith, we have done a lot of refugee work. We did some in Haiti after the earthquake there, and we've done a lot most recently in the Middle East, trying to help the refugees find, you know, get them settled other places out of the Middle East. And in one particular case, there was a little girl who was born, a little Syrian girl was born without an eye. She was born with one eye. And so, she needed some medical help to kind of help fix, at least from a look perspective. I mean, they couldn't replace her eye, but they could certainly give her, you know, her face and fix her face and do some plastic surgery, et cetera. So we worked very hard. Jane Fleming, who leads our refugee practice, really worked hard to figure out a way to get her and her family out of Syria, get them to a place where she could get the medical attention she needed. That story, we got coverage in the New York Times, the Herald Tribune, Financial Times, a variety of places, because it was such a compelling story, first of all. Secondly, it really put a real face on the whole refugee crisis and why there's so much that needs to be done, and that all these people who need so much help, not only just getting out of a war-torn area, but getting medical help they need and getting settled in a place where they can go on with their lives. Just a really very compelling, really heart-wrenching story. And so, and thank goodness things have turned out really well. The family's resettled. They've started some of the surgeries and that kind of thing. So I think that, you know, again, just as you're looking to kind of figure out how to position your firm, if you've got some compelling pro bono stories, which we all do, I mean, firms of all sizes have great stories to tell in this particular area. You use those, work with those, and it's also a great educational tool. It can help people understand particular issues as well.
Definitely. I know that one of the go-tos for my own media pitching has always been, right, the trend story. Three things happen, and suddenly you've got a trend. But ultimately, I think that the best of these trend stories are really focused around building to a specific climax point, which brings in this whole issue of the climax. But I think that, Cheryl, you had a really great example about taking something that probably was not necessarily particularly intriguing, at least from just on its face, and turning it into a much bigger story.
Yeah, I got an email from a lawyer, a deal lawyer, an announcement from his client. The client wrote the deal closing announcement, and it was just the basics of, we closed this deal, we bought our competitor, here's a nice quote about why we're happy this deal closed and what we're hoping to accomplish as a result of this, and here's the firm that was involved, and here's a CPA firm, and here's a little bit about us, and that's it. And I took a look at it, and I thought, there's got to be something more here. So I sent a note to the lawyer involved, and I said, well, what, you know, can you tell me a little bit more about this news? And the news is that this what they consider the nation's fastest growing provider of print media and parcel distribution in Los Angeles bought a competitor, and it was actually the last competitor in the marketplace, and so it makes this the largest print media and parcel distribution company in the country. And it wasn't until the attorney wrote me and said that the firm had been representing this company since it was a mom and pop business and in a dying industry, and turning it into a national player and buying out its competition, which actually was owned by the LA Times. I took that actual sentence and sent it to a reporter saying, this is why you should care about this deal. And the reporter said, this is really interesting. I wanted to write a bigger feature on it. And actually the feature showed up in the Los Angeles Business Journal this week, mentioning the firm, mentioning my client, and I thought in actually quoting the attorney's client, the client of the competitor as well as his client, and they were thrilled about it. But otherwise, it would have just been a mundane, you know, here's you should write about this closing. I was able to turn it into something that made it more meaningful, not just for the firm, but for the client. And usually when we get these type of news, it's just the basics, but it's like going one step further. It's like, tell me more about this. Tell me more about the client. Tell me more why this deal is significant. And a lot of times those news releases, especially coming from the client, they don't include that kind of information. So it's, again, another reason why we have to dig deeper and get the story behind the story.
Yeah, and this is exactly why lawyers and law firms need people like you, Cheryl, and like all of us who are in PR, to help kind of understand that people, help them understand we need to get beyond it, need to get behind the story, dig a little deeper, and tell the story. I think that's exactly right.
Well, thanks, guys. I think that we've, you know, gone through a number of examples here, and I wanted to just wrap up quickly with a few key takeaways from both of you that folks can keep in mind as they are starting to really think about building out the stories that their firms and their lawyers have to tell. So, John?
Yeah, one of the things that I always tell lawyers when I'm working with them or we're going to talk to a reporter, and especially think as you're trying to tell a story, is that in order to keep yourself focused on it and not go off on a tangent, which can happen when lawyers start talking, they can just start talking, I say to them, you know, think about what are the three most important things you want to communicate as you're telling the story to the reporter. Take those three things, write them down, have them in front of you, and refer to them and repeat them as you go through your conversation with the reporter in hopes that one or maybe even all three of those points will make it into the story. It just helps you focus your own thoughts about the story, but also ensures that you're going to communicate what you want to communicate and that you don't end up just talking all over the board. So that's my big push and takeaway for storytelling.
And Cheryl?
And for me, it's you know, we're selling firms, but really firms are we're people. It's made up of people. And there are stories everywhere, and the onus is upon us is to find those stories and learn about the people, because everybody has a story to tell. And it's, again, getting those details, getting the story behind the story is what we need to sell to reporters. And I think any firm, at any size firm, can be really successful at pitching themselves to the media and being successful at storytelling, as long as the people are willing to play ball and talking about what they do for their clients and giving up the information that we need to tell a good story.
Well, I want to thank you both for sharing your insights today and your examples, which I think really help us understand exactly how storytelling can be used effectively. So thank you for joining us today, and look for our next podcast soon.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
That concludes another installment of the LMA podcast. To discover all that the LMA has to offer, visit www.legalmarketing.org. Cheers!